بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue reading from the virtues of the glorious Quran with the specific virtues of certain surahs. This is the virtues of Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha is a cure for all sicknesses. Hazrat Abdul Malik bin Umar radiallahu bin Umayr radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in Surah Fatiha there is a cure for all sicknesses. The virtues of Surah Fatiha are found in many hadiths. It is reported in one hadith that a Sahabi was reading Nafil Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him, but since he was reading Salah, he did not answer. After completing the Salah, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who asked him why he did not answer as soon as he was called. He replied that he could not do so because he was reading Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked if he had not read the following ayat in the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم استجيبوا لله ولرسوله إذا دعاكم. Answer the call of Allah and His Messenger whenever they call you. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I will tell you of a surah which is the greatest and most virtuous in the Quran. It is Surah Al-Hamd, which has 7 ayat. These are the Sabul Mathani, 7 ayat which are often repeated and represent the glorious Quran. Some pious ulama have mentioned that whatever there was in the earlier books is found in the Quran, and the message of the entire Quran is found in Surah Fatiha. According to another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by him who is the owner of my life, a surah like this has neither been revealed in the Torah, nor in the Injil, nor in the Zabur, nor in the rest of the Quran. The ulama have stated that the reading of Surah Fatiha with firm belief and faith cures all sicknesses. To use its ayat as a ta'weez is useful in the treatment of diseases. It is mentioned in the books of hadith that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to read Surah Fatiha and blow upon those bitten by a snake or a scorpion, and even on the person suffering from fits and on the mentally ill. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had also allowed this. It is reported in one hadith that Shaitan cried, wept and threw dust on his head 4 times. When he was cursed, when he was thrown out of Jannah onto earth, when Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was made a Nabi, and when Surah Fatiha was revealed. Shaabi rahmatullah alayhi says that once a man came to him and complained of pain in his kidney. Shaabi rahmatullah alayhi asked him to read Asasul Quran, the foundation of the Quran, and blow on the aching spot. When he asked what was meant by Asasul Quran, Shaabi rahmatullah alayhi replied, Surah Fatiha. To read it 7 times and blow on a patient is a good treatment for toothache, headache and pain in the stomach. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting amongst us and he said, today a door has opened in Jannah which was never opened before, and out of it came an angel who never came down before. The angel said to me, receive the good news of 2 anwar, lights, which have not been given to anyone before you. One is Surah Fatiha, and the other is the last few ayats of Surah Baqarah. These 2 surahs have been called Nur because on the day of Qiyamah, they will travel in front of their readers, brightening their path. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to always recite Surah Fatiha. From the Kitab of Islamic Social Etiquette, we read from the chapter of the etiquette of the gathering. Number 1, when you have to wait for someone in a gathering, do not sit in such a place or in such a way as to convey that you are waiting. The action will create unnecessary anxiety upon the one you are waiting for. Sit quietly at a distance from the person in an inconspicuous way. An emergency will obviously be excluded from this rule. Number 2, when going to meet a person, then on arrival inform you in some way of your presence. Such notification may be by salam, speech, or by sitting in such a place where you may be observed. This rule does not apply to a public gathering. Without having informed the person of your arrival, do not sit down in such a place which conceals your presence. It is quite possible that he may engage in some conversation which is not for others' ears. In this way, the private affairs of another person may be unwittingly overheard. It is not permissible to overhear the secrets and private affairs of others without their consent. If you hear someone engaging in a private discussion without having knowledge of your presence, then immediately leave that place. If the speaker is under the impression that you are asleep, then immediately reveal that you are awake. If the matter being discussed pertains to the infliction of harm or loss to you or any Muslim, then it will be permissible to overhear such schemes to enable you to protect yourself and others. Number 3, when sitting in the company of a person, do not sit so close as to cause inconvenience to him, or so far that it becomes difficult to conduct the conversation with ease. Number 4, do not stare at a person who is involved in some work. This distracts his attention and distracts his peace. Number 5, it is disrespectful to unnecessarily sit directly behind someone in close proximity. The person in front is disturbed. Number 6, when a person is sitting and engaged in some work, do not stand in his presence waiting for him to attend to you. Sit down and address him as soon as he is relieved. Number 7, when going to meet a person, do not sit with him so long as to inconvenience him or cause an impediment to his work. Number 8, where people are gathered, do not spit or clean your nose in their presence unnecessarily. For such acts, leave their presence. Number 9, when leaving a gathering which was organized to discuss certain issues, do not leave without the consent of the Amir of the assembly. Number 10, it is not permissible to remain in a gathering where any law of the Sharia is being violated. Participating in such a gathering is not lawful. Number 11, gatherings are held in trust. It is therefore not permissible to publicize the discussion of a gathering. However, if the gathering is a conspiracy to destroy the life, property or reputation of a Muslim, then it will not be permissible to conceal such a plot. Inshallah, we'll continue with this. May Allah Ta'ala grant us to tawfiq to follow these principles.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. We were discussing the things that by which we can make our rozas much more valuable, and we can get maximum, inshallah, full returns for what we are keeping roza. Sawabs we will get, inshallah, and our faraz will be done. But if we keep these things in mind, we will benefit tremendously, and this will carry on for the whole year also, and consequently for our whole life also. The one thing we mentioned, just to mention it by point form, is to control our tongue. That is very, very important. Related to that is with the ear. We shouldn't listen to things. And we mentioned that what is haram to speak is haram to listen to. So we should keep that also in mind. Then we were discussing about the eyes, looking after our gazes. That is also a very, very important aspect. And in Ramzan also. And in fact, not only in Ramzan, this is so important that for all our reformation and correction of our lives, it is every day. We are called 5 times a day for namaz. From one aspect, it is Allah's faraz, it is ibadat, we have to do it, and we should do it, Allah give us tawfiq, with enjoyment, not as a duty. It is a duty, we have to do it, but if we do it, anyone, we can understand, if your job becomes your hobby, then what to say about that? If you enjoy doing your job, then you enjoy it, so you do it with full enthusiasm. And with feeling, you don't do it if the boss is there, then you do it. If he's not there, you do it, or you do it in a lax way. So Allah give us tawfiq that all our ibadat, we do it as a hobby. One time, Maulana Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, Tamat Barakatuh, Mufti Sahib, he gave a bayan somewhere. I asked him, you don't get tired? He said, where does a person get tired? In his hobby. He enjoys his hobby. Wherever, whatever he has to do, he enjoys it. He doesn't get tired in it. So all our duties, our namazes also, Allah bring it that we do it with enthusiasm and with feeling. So 5 times a day, one aspect, this is not the basic aspect, it's just one aspect, is for our servicing, our training. Like our car needs service every 20,000 kilometers or 6 months or whatever it might be. It has to go for service. If we service it, it will give us good results on the road. We will travel nicely. Hopefully, we won't have a problem. But we don't service our car. We don't do a minor service. We don't do a major service. We can well understand how much problems we're going to have. So namaz is also a service. And it serves us. Now, there's one aspect I want to explain now. Try to, hopefully by Allah's help, for myself, for everyone's benefit, is one aspect of namaz. Namaz has got so many aspects. And we know namaz is faraz. There are faraiz of namaz. There are wajibats of namaz. There are sunnate mu'akkadas of namaz, all. But one which is a mustahab act in namaz. So when a mustahab has so much effect, we will be able to imagine what a faraz will be able to give us. When a mustahab has got so much. And these categories are also that what was absolutely essential that Allah made for us, which was lesser degree, Allah made, but when the lesser has got so much value, then the higher, or the faraiz, what value won't that have the whole of namaz? So, on one occasion, there was a nikah here in the masjid. And in the talk, they asked me to say a few words. And it's all from Allah's side, we don't plan or anything. And I said about this mustahab, which I want to speak about, that when we are making namaz, to keep our eyes, when we are in a standing position, at the place of sajda. That is a mustahab in namaz. When we go in ruku, on our feet, late. And when we go in sajda, then we focus it on the nose. The nose we can't see. Now also, and this is, I don't want to go into that, unnecessary, or it is beneficial. But the main, the closest thing to the eye is the nose, right under the eyes. But you can't see your eye. Many people in many things, we say we want to keep a good view of everything. In our business, today, on your cell phone, you can check what's happening in your business, what's happening in your home, everything. But your nose, you can't see. Which is right below your eyes, but you can't see your eyes, your nose. And neither can you see the tip of the nose, and neither just below in your nostrils, you can't see. But anyway, so in sajda, we are required to focus on it. You can't see it, but you must focus there, on the tip of your nose. And when we are in a sitting position, it should be in our lap, our eyes should be. And when we make salam, on the shoulders. Because here, the kiram and katibin, the malaika, angels are here. And we are actually making salam to them also, first to them, then all the people. Most of us, our salam is just a vague salam. We're just making salam, we don't know, no niyat for who we are making salam. So making salam to the malaika, that is very important. So this I explained, and I said if a person does this, his eyes will be under control outside. We came in the masjid for treatment, for service. And now when you go outside, your eyes will be under control. So it finished, everything got finished. After about 2 months, one good friend of ours phoned me, and he told me that, I've got a lot of lust and desire for women. And he's a pious person, I can't do haram, anything. So I married a second wife, so that my eyes, I can control them. I don't look at other women. But he said, I married a second wife, same problem. Still it was carrying on. No results. But he says, since I practice that now, since then, 100%, I don't look at other women. So if the mustahab gives us this amount, then what will the faraiz give us? The wajibat, the sunnat mu'akkada, how much won't we benefit? Wallah, one namaz of ours come right, then we can't imagine. One roza of ours, one Ramadan we spend correctly, we will become examples for the world. And that is where really, what is, where we will, what you call it, pick the real da'wat of Islam. And these things of our own, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Usmani, Da'amat Barakatum, says, every Muslim has the desire that Islam must become alive in the whole world. And we all, many people have got lot plans also how Islam can become alive in the world. So he says the simple way is, you just take this example, that you one body, you are one country, and you got many provinces in you. Like some countries have got 8 provinces, 12, 15, whatever they might be. You got the province of your brain, the province of your eyes, province of your ears, your mouth, your heart, your hands, legs, so many provinces. And you are the president of this country, and without voting, a lifelong president, not 4 years, 5 years, lifelong president. And you've got no opposition, it's also in your government. Because you're in control, it's your body, so you've got no opposition. So all you do, what everyone must do, I bring Islam alive in my eyes, how Islam has taught me, Quran has taught me. I look like that. I bring Islam alive in my brain, Islam alive in my heart. If everyone does that, Islam is alive in the world. But the problem is that we don't worry about ourselves, we want to, others must come right. That is our worry. We don't worry that I must come right. Yet we are worried, others must come right. Like, for example, at our age, most of us, not all, we've got our children, now we want to make sure they must come right. But we are not worried, I must come right. One good friend of ours, when it was the time of his nikah, what a thing he told me. So he came and he asked for duas. We all, what will be normal our duas when you want to get married? I must get a good girl, we are men here. And they will say a good boy. So I must get a good man, pious or right, upright and whatever, all the things that you would like. He said, Maulana, make dua that Allah makes me right. He says, if I'm right, then I will get a right wife. And if I'm not right, I won't get a right wife. So make dua, Allah must make me right. We always worried of the other person. We seldom worry about ourselves. This is a different thing. We go in Jamaat also. It's not that we just want to make the world right. Everyone goes for his own Islah. And we are telling others, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, the greatest weakness I find in myself, I make bayan on that. And I address myself. And by speaking about it, then inshallah it will come. So when we tell other people also, it must be with the niyat that I must come right. So this person here, he says that since then, my eyes are under control. So namaz here also, and in namaz, oh, there are a lot of extension to this, but we should not make our namaz, and there are a lot of permissible things to see also. Or in namaz, our concentration must be. So these things will bring concentration. While standing, if we look at the place of sajda, and a person thinks that this is the place I have to go to finally, the same. Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum. From where we created you, from there we're going to return you. One good friend of ours, who was my teacher also, he said that when jamaats make tashkeel, then many brothers who don't intend giving their names, they look down. But jamaats are always one front, one ahead. So they say, yes, brother, you're looking down. For that we're making tashkeel. You're worried of the grave. For that we are making tashkeel. That what's going to happen to us in the grave. So give your name. You've got the right figure. So they're not going to spare us. And they do it for our benefit. So, and somebody, for example, playing with his beard. Oh, mashallah, you have intention. So they manage to get you up. Oh, when a person has got worries, then also he likes plays with his beard, he's worrying. Yeah, for this worry, we want you to go out. So give your name and go out. So anyway, so this is what we have to have, that in namaz, though it's not haram, if you look around, your namaz won't break. But the essence of namaz will be lost. The whole essence. So when we are looking down, consider the grave, what we are going to do. When we go into ruku, make this muraqabah thing, that I'm putting my heart, I'm subservient to the commands of Allah. As now when I say Allahu Akbar, and I go into ruku, I put my whole body down. So my heart, I've surrendered it to Allah Ta'ala. If we do this, inshallah, for the rest of our, out of namaz, we'll also be able to surrender to the commandments of Allah. Here we are doing it physically also, then all Allah's commands we will be able to surrender physically. When we go in sajda, that my brains, I've surrendered them to Allah Ta'ala. That whatever, I won't use my logic in anything. I won't think shaitan used this logic, backed up with his pride, that why must I make sajda to the one that has been created by sand, etc. Why must I make sajda to him? So we surrender. Then inshallah, we, in the rest of our days, our lives, we will be able to surrender to the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, the common disease which is spreading so widely and so widely is that everyone, what I think is right. And whatever, and anyone, that what my Rai is, that is the correct Rai. And everyone else is wrong. That is also a big disease. And it's causing havoc in the world. Whether it is amongst us Muslims or anyone, everyone today is the nature that what I think is right. Allah save me, save us all from this attitude. Whether it is between husband and wife also. husband feels I'm right, what I say is right, whether it is with the wife, whether it is with parents and children. Children say, parents don't understand me, because I know what I'm doing, I know what I have to do. Parents don't understand. Or whether it is in masjid committees also. We have differences, because everyone feels I am right. So if we learn everyone to be right, for Allah's sake, and Allah's law we bring, then unity will also come. Unity is also not that we all become united on anything. Ulama have explained so beautifully. For many people feel that we must have unity in everything. So for example, if all the crooks in the prison, they unite, and they decide that they're going to now, when they come out, they got their plans ready. That what they're going to, that unity is not good. If they're going to unite like that, that unity is not good. We have to unite, not on everything, but easy way, the commands of Allah. That what Allah has told, we all unite on that. Allah has sent Islam as a boon, a blessing for us. For this world, Islam is not really for Akhirat, the results will come in Akhirat. But Islam is to live here now according to Islam. So if we do that, then inshallah, we will find that we will have peace in the house, in the town, everywhere, if we submit to Allah Ta'ala. When a person is in a sitting position, and then we are looking in the left, then we think, like for example, from one sajda we came up, we're going to the next sajda. For that little while, that is my time in this dunya. So short my life is, and very, very short. On one occasion, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was giving a bayan in Bombay. So before the bayan, most probably on Safa or something, people told Hazrat Qari Sahib that there is a very busy city. People are very busy, occupied, working, and the city is alive 24 hours almost. So if you make the bayan short. So Qari Sahib didn't say anything. But when he started with the bayan, he asked, is there somebody 100 years old? No one. 90? No one. 80, 1, 2 or something. And in Asa, yeah, I think no one, 80 also. Yeah, 70, then a few people will stand up. 60 more, 50 more. So Qari Sahib said, when we wanted deen to be short, so Allah made our lives also short. And previously, deen, they would give time. For deen, they had the whole night. Bayans are common in the past. That whole night bayan should take place. There's just the introduction of the, and this is now, not so long ago, about 50, 60 years ago, or a bit more than that. The introduction for a bayan used to be first zikrullah for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And that makes the heart soft. When you want to plant something, you first soften the ground. Then you put your seeds in. You don't just throw it on the hard ground. It will just, and that is what is happening. The minds are not prepared. And we're just sitting there, and then we're just putting our seeds. Then they just fly away where the one wind came. Or water came, which was supposed to give life to all that. But it makes it all flow away, because we didn't soften the ground. We didn't plow the ground. So with that zikr, they plow the ground first. And then they should make tilawat of Quran Sharif. For example, one great buzurg, he should read whole of Yasin Sharif. About 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 6 minutes it will take to read Yasin. He will read whole of Yasin Sharif. After that, the bayan will start. And how long the bayan is to go? Till Fajr, Azan time many times. And people should sit. But today, it's impossible. We can't think of it also. So when we want everything of deen to be short, our lives are also short. And they give time for deen, Allah gave them long lives also. And they achieved everything with that. So anyway, our eyes in namaz, we must learn to look after our eyes properly. The essence of namaz will also come. And together with that, when we control it, like this brother phoned me, that we came to know, otherwise we don't know, that he said now, that looking at other women, that is out of the question now. Now I can focus properly. So every command of Allah, we can't imagine how much of goodness there is. Every teaching of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we get impressed when we hear now a scientist, a doctor, he discovered that this is, and what Muslims have been telling, that was right. Allah give us that yaqeen, that we don't need any doctor's research, any scientist's research, that the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the only perfect way in this world and for our akhirat also. So this eyes, we're controlling it here. Just this one little point also. For example, if somebody has lost his most valuable thing, everyone's thing valuable is different. Somebody perhaps his passport, somebody his ID, whatever it is, your money, whatever it can be, how a person is worried when he's looking for it. Now just to bring this on one example, that a person was very poor, but he only had one gold coin. He was living in a small little shanty, and he lost it there. But when he wanted to look for it, he went out on the street, under the street where the lamppost is, the light. So because there is light, he's looking for it. And he's looking. Now you can imagine the person, there's only asset in his life, and how he must be looking for it. A friend came past, saw this person, he's really worried. He's grunting for him. What's he looking for? So he asked him, he said, I only got this one gold coin, and that also I've lost. And so he asked, let me help you. So he's also looking everywhere, they can't find it. Then as common, he asks, where did you lose it? So he says, in my eastern shanty. So if you lost it there, why are you looking here? He says, because I got no lights there. Here there are lights, that's why I'm looking for it here. But you can look for it where it is not, till the cows go home. You won't find it there, because it's not there. In the tent shanty, with a candle, with a torch, or with nothing, just moving your hands around, hopefully you will find it. Today we also looking for everything where it is not. A person is depressed, he goes to treatment where it is not. It's not going to give him the answer. A person, he goes to alcohol, he goes to drugs, we go to other places, we go to casinos, and we try everywhere it is not. Where it is, Allah has made five times a day we are called here. Where our solution is. And to submit to deen completely. That is where our solution is. And it will come there. Look for it there. What I was trying in this example, where it refers to other things, what I was saying, how this person must be looking for that. So if we also lose the most valuable thing in our lives, how won't we look for it? So if we have come here, truly, not only our i'tikaf, which is major thing, but to look for Allah, to find the reality of deen, and to find Allah Ta'ala, to make our akhirah, then we will also be looking for it like that. Each one of us is looking for it, we won't have time to talk with anyone, we won't have time to smile with anyone, because I'm looking for my thing which I've lost so dearly. But have we got that? So if we look for it here, then our eyes won't go fall on all other things. We won't find this person's fault when I look at him. We won't find that person's fault when I look at him. Nothing, because our concentration is just there. Just to complete, in the Khanqah of Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah, many other buzurgs also, people used to stay in one room, 4 months, 40 days, but they didn't know one another's names also after that. Where you stay, how many children, what work you do, our first meeting, whole history is in front of us. Because we got nothing to look for. They came for a purpose, and they wanted that one purpose to solve that problem of death. So if we also have that attitude and we look for that thing what we have lost, or that we haven't found still, but I have to find it, then our attitude will be different. So then our eyes also won't just be going around all the time. And we won't be thinking bad about anyone also. Today we are in the masjid, and here also we can be making gunas with our eyes. We look down upon somebody, we find fault with another, and today the cell phone is with everyone. And what way are you in contact with the whole world also? So our eyes control, if we make it properly, inshallah, whole year and consequently whole life, Islam will become alive in us and everyone. Then Islam is alive in the world. May Allah give us all tawfiq and guide us righteously.